The old Baptist preacher was faced with the scripture text, God is love. He said, now some people will preach about God, and some people will preach about love, but I'm going to preach about is. In that spirit, some people would preach about Jairus' daughter, and some people would preach about the woman bleeding for 12 years, but I'm going to preach on get her something to eat. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and soul be always acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for the confirmants who are here, that's Leo and Mason, is there anything funny about this sermon title? We actually talked about this on Wednesday night. What's funny about it? I mean, funny in the context of first century Jerusalem. They not only didn't have cheeseburgers, but in fact, eating cheeseburgers is against Jewish holy codes. And so the last thing Jesus would actually say is get her a cheeseburger. Okay. Aren't you all glad we don't live in first century Jerusalem? So all of these stories present pictures of Jesus' power, right? He has the power to raise a girl from the dead. He has the power to heal the body of this woman who's been sick for 12 years. But within these stories, we also see the power that we have in Jesus' world. We get to walk in Jairus' steps along with Jesus. Jairus wants to hurry home to his ailing daughter, very naturally. In modern times, he might be the sort of person that can immediately command the attention of the best doctors, you know, getting in on a day's notice instead of a month's notice or 2 months' notice, and then have that appointment inevitably canceled at the last second. But to do so, Jairus must first spend some time with the doctor seeing all the other patients that are waiting too. To do so, he needs to walk with Jesus on the journey back to his house. And Jesus, unlike our doctors of today, unworried by insurance billing codes or approved treatments, is not in a rush. He's moving steadily on, but has enough time to look around and see who touched him so that he can have a personal conversation with her. As we wander with Jairus and the disciples, we might well wonder why it is so important for Jesus to tell this woman that she has been healed. She knew it already. It's in the text. But it is important for Jesus to show us, I think, that she is important too. That she deserves a face-to-face conversation. That her extraordinary act of attempting disruption, of breaking convention, of trying to grab on to Jesus to get some attention to heal her ailments, is not something unworthy, but something beautiful. Because he knows that it's hard to keep our attention. Why else would he have worried in our earlier weeks about all the crowds that gathered around him to be healed? He knew that we sometimes open ourselves to new possibilities when we are in crisis that we would otherwise miss. Our own crises give us empathy with others, right? We see story after story of people who have been moved to heal rifts and change the world because of things that have happened to them. Doctors pursue new research because someone in their family suffers from a particular disease. NFL athletes become anti-concussion activists because they see all the damage football did to their lives and to their loved ones. Gun rights advocates become gun control advocates when faced with the trauma of shootings in their own lives. Sometimes, though, these changes are short-lived. The person who swears they will reform their life and become a better human during health crisis soon finds their way into old habits. How many of you have or have seen someone lose 30 pounds after a visit with a doctor about their hearts, only to gain them back over the next 2 years? It's me? Yeah, right? And so people sometimes forget the crisis has passed, becomes less immediate and less urgent. And so as Jairus walks along with Jesus, I imagine Jesus saying, let us make the most of this attention that I have. When I have you with me, let us make the most of it. Let us show Jairus that the journey is the point of it, that the longer you walk with Jesus, the more people you can meet who need help, the more people whose pain you can see, the more people you can meet who show both how desperate and how beautiful humanity can be. And we, like Jairus, walk with Jesus too, momentarily forgetting that we have a destination in mind and able to focus only on the journey that is right in front of us. We can see a woman transformed by her faith. We do not know who she was before she bled for 12 years, but we can see her desperation and her faith in Jesus as a healer, and we can see her life return to her. She is transformed by her moment with Jesus. And when we get to Jairus' house, we can see what has happened to him and his family as well. Their future goes from one that will always be marked by loss and by absence to one that is marked by healing instead. But I see a challenge in Jesus' words after healing their daughter. It's a simple sentence, get her something to eat. But it speaks to the infinite possibilities ahead of them and ahead of us. Jesus may heal our spirits and doctors may heal our bodies, or we may receive a reprieve from illness that we have prayed for. But it is always temporary. We will all die. And whether or not there is healing for us or for others, need will continue. We are not Jesus. If we have the power of divine healing, it is not as consistent as his was, and it is not governed by our faith as the woman's was. So we are unable to raise people from the dead. We are unable to end mysterious maladies with a mere touch. Sometimes that makes us feel helpless, right? Have any of you felt helpless when you hear about someone's illness or loss? Yeah? Overwhelmed, maybe? I know I have. I've wished I had the ability of Jesus to just fix things, to just make it go away with a word or with a touch. But I know I can't do that, and so I feel helpless. What Jesus tells me here is that being unable to fix things doesn't make me helpless. Let me say that again. Being unable to fix things doesn't make me helpless. We can still help without fixing. In this congregation, we all have gifts. Some people have the gift of great personal comfort. People you can hug and just watch some of your pains flow away into them. Have you ever experienced this? A hug that just seems to make things better? Some people have the gift of organization. When we're overwhelmed by the world and just can't figure out how to do A, B, and C things in front of us, they somehow know how to do it. They come into your life and say, don't worry about organizing all these files. I will do it for you. Don't worry about getting all this planned. I can plan it for you. I can take it off your plate. Some people have the gift of laughter, some joke or wry observation that breaks through even the deepest grief to remind us that there are other emotions that are out there. Now, none of these fix things. None of them fix the loss. None of them fix the illness. But they still provide healing. They show ways to help. They are ways to help. And so for those of us who feel sometimes like we don't have any of these gifts, there are still yet other gifts that can help. I usually keep a stack of paper plates in my car. That's how I help. Right? Because I know even if I can't make someone laugh in a moment, even if I can't take anything off of their plate, even if a hug from me doesn't fix anything, at least I can save some washing up. You know, especially if someone has died or is sick, if you're spending all your time with a hospital, who wants to do the dishes, right? The stack of paper plates can help. I may not be able to do anything else, but I can do that. Or I may not have anything to say, but at least I can close my mouth and listen to what they have to say. Or in my case, just sit there in comfortable silence, smiling at them. I can do that for a long time. And it seems to help. I don't know why, but it seems to help. Because my faith in Jesus, my knowledge that in serving Jesus, I made a choice that I did not have to make. I did not have to be here in this church, and neither do you. it constantly reminds me that there are things that I can do. I can sit there and smile. I can sit there and sort of suppress any feeling of uncomfortableness. I can bring plates. There are things I can do and things I must do as part of my journey with Jesus. Sometimes these things are easy, like talking to the youth. That's a lot of fun. Sometimes these things are hard, like picking up the phone to have an uncomfortable conversation, or figuring out why there is conflict going on and finding out how to heal it. Sometimes it's even harder. Sometimes it's looking out at the wider world and seeing the structural challenges in our society, seeing the huge disparity in wealth between the Western world, like Africa and the Middle East, these places we keep on praying for because there seems always to be conflict, and we know they have so much less money than we have in the West. At seeing the huge divide in this country and the experience between people of color and people who are white. At seeing wealth rapidly accrete to the 1% in this country at the same time as we let infrastructure crumble and serve poisoned water to Flint, Michigan, even though clean water would have been cheaper, at least according to the emails recently released. These are all huge things, and they often seem insurmountable. But I wonder whether we have the power to change ourselves, to change our own experience by listening to the voices of others that challenge us. I know I learn a lot by listening to people whose words at first make me a little defensive. I also know that it is easy to wish too hard that we've reached our destination. It's easy to wish too hard that we have solved all of the problems, to wish too hard that we've gotten to the goal and no longer have to be on the journey, no longer have to pay attention to the people we see along the road, and no longer have to pay attention to all the pain. And then I read statistics, like Pew Research's polling last June after the Supreme Court's marriage equality decision. Among people who knew only one or two gay or lesbian people, support stands at 43% for gay marriage, marriage equality. Among people who know some gay people, 59%. Among people who know a lot of gay people, 73%. And I looked at those statistics and I wondered how much of that was owing to the ability to listen, to have empathy, to understand what journey the people who are around you are going through. And I wonder how much we can learn by sitting down and by listening to one another. Because I think back to Jairus on the journey with Jesus, exposed to all of these different people along the road, including this woman, so desperate. And forced just to wait and see, just to look and see. Because if you're with the guy you think can cure your dying daughter, the last thing you're going to do is jump in and ask him what the heck he's doing, right? So Jairus just had to sit there and say, let me see what I can see, and not judge, and not get defensive, and not argue with Jesus. And when I see the statistics that Pew Research had, I'm reminded that part of our journey is listening. Listening to the experiences of others, just like Jairus had to do. The woman told her whole story to Jesus, it is said. Of remembering our own crises and the ways our pain felt, and feeling empathy for the pain of others. And I know how to listen. I know how to shut down that part of me that wants to jump in and share all I know and fix everything and give everyone the right answer that I know and they don't. And I know how to stop thinking about the 50,000-foot view of these giant problems, the 2 feet of snow, and hear what's going on in the person right in front of me. Not the experience that all people have, not the experience that I have, but the experience that you, the person in front of me, is feeling right now in this moment. And I understand that I don't have to be Jesus to not be paralyzed by the pain around us. Because on this journey with Jesus today, I learned that no matter how great the challenge, there will always be people around us experiencing new things and different things. And I may not be able to fix those things, but I can hear what their pain is. And those people will always need a cheeseburger. Okay, except for the people who don't want a cheeseburger, because it wouldn't be very good listening to give a cheeseburger to a vegetarian. But I do know that I know how to make cheeseburgers. And maybe that's enough. Amen.